Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in to WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in to our online affiliates via our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. As we are talking about the importance of preserving history, our next guest is definitely someone I'm glad to be able to have back on with us. We're excited to welcome back award-winning author Tina Siemens to our broadcast today. Tina's the author of the book Seminole, Some People Never Give Up, as well as The Little Sandals That Could. We're going to talk to her not only about what it's been like for her to share her own personal history with the world, but also to be able to encourage other people to embrace their history, get to know it, and share it as well. One of the big ways Tina's been able to do this is through her own museum. We're going to talk to her about that, a big event that's coming up, and let you know how to stay connected with her too. Tina, thank you again for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. I truly look forward to these conversations because that means that I can share with the world something that I'm so passionate about, and that is history.
Yeah, such a great thing. Tina, I want to talk about the appreciation of history. And, you know, for you and myself, and I think, and I give you a whole lot more credit than I give myself, Tina, I have always loved history, but you have really absorbed yourself in history. I was not that person. I was fascinated by it growing up and learning in school, but you have really taken it to heart and made it part of your mission. What has that been like for you to share your passion of history with others?
Well, that is something that I have absolutely loved seeing, and it kind of has developed over time, because every one of us that loves history, there's so much more than dates and people. There is events. For instance, today marks a very important day in our history, 120 years ago, and that is, when you think back and look back of where we've come from, it's just so amazing to be able to share that with others. Unfortunately, there's very few people in the world that are truly as passionate about history as I am, but it's so wonderful. If you find a kindred spirit, like you get my love for history, and that's just an amazing thing for me to share.
Yeah. And I think, too, to understand the importance of your own history. I want to spend some time with this,
yeah,
Tina, because I think so many times, and I've shared with you before in the past, that my grandmother, I was blessed to be able to interview her before she died, but she was a person who didn't truly appreciate her own history and her place in history and what she had achieved.
Right.
When did you know that what you had gone through, that what your family had gone through, was worth preserving?
For me, it started off with what I wanted to preserve for my personal family, my children and my grandchildren. What are they to remember? If I should go before them, what would they remember me by? And that is the push that got me to take the steps of preserving our own history. But then I realized this is history that not just my family went through, but thousands and thousands before me went through the same things. Might have been in a different setting, in a different culture, but the core of history is the same thing, because we all live on this earth experiencing the same time and the same seasons. So for me, it was so much about, I want to do it for my family, but then now that I can share it with the world, the gift is just so much bigger for me to give.
Yeah. And it all began with the book Seminole, Some People Never Give Up. And Tina, I think for those who are not authors, I think we that are authors know that you don't just wake up a day, write a book, publish a book in 72 hours or a week. That this is it is a time sensitive project. So take us back. When did you come up with the the idea to publish Seminole, Some People Never Give Up, and how long did it take you to write it?
It was a 20-year dream come true for me to travel and gather the information that I wanted to preserve for my family. But then it was during the process of writing that I all of a sudden thought that this could be chapters. And I've shared it with several friends, and they said, absolutely. So I was probably halfway through what is now the book of Seminole when I geared it toward, I'm going to have a published manuscript. And so it didn't start, but I think as a historian, things develop over time. It doesn't
right.
come, like you said, in the 70 hours. So the writing process in itself was 5 years, and the gathering of information and just traveling to all these different sites was a 20-year process for me.
Wow. Amazing. So when you first saw the book yourself, when you saw the finished product, Tina, what did you feel?
It was such an afternoon that I'll never forget. I was having a gathering at my house with some local historians, and we were going to, well, we formed a committee that was going to restore some old things in my community. And it was at a meeting when the UPS dropped off a package, and I've been tracing the book and knew it was going to come that day sometime. But it was in that meeting, and somebody filmed me opening that package and receiving my first printed book. And it's priceless because there's something that happens when you realize all your hard work has been completed, and it's now in a book form. Truly an amazing experience.
Right. I think that is the big thing here, and I think for our audience, they can really appreciate that. Again, for those who are just tuning in, welcome. You're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome back award-winning author Tina Simmons to our broadcast today. She's the author of Seminole, Some People Never Give Up. We were just talking about that, but also The Little Sandals That Could. Now, The Little Sandals That Could takes us more into your story, Tina, and your parents. So talk to us about why you decided to write that book.
I called The Little Sandals That Could my COVID project, because we couldn't travel, we couldn't interact, and this was something that I personally experienced. It is connected to Seminole, Some People Never Give Up, but this was more the viewpoint of me as an 8-year-old immigrating to the U.S. and what that, all those experiences were, how I started school and not knowing the language, and all the things that were difficult as an 8-year-old growing up and learning a new language, learning a new culture. So that is the end result. But then I end it with sharing how I want to preserve what I went through, the hard times, the good times, the ice cream, with my grandchildren. And so I'm just pleased to have a children's version of what Seminole is.
Yeah. And to that point then, it also is something that I always bring up, Tina, because I think it is so powerful, and I know what it's going to mean for other generations, and that is to literally let us see your family. Now, my family is pretty private. They're not really into having their pictures taken, and people rarely see my family. They're not really into that thing, and I respect that for them. But I have to admit, when I saw your family, it really did touch my heart, because you could, one thing, see the love with you and your grandchildren, see the love with them and the work that they were doing. What was it like for you to capture those moments and to share them with us when it came to your family?
It's hearing it from my grandchildren talking about it. That's when I'm just like, yes, it was meant to be. When they talked just for lunch, I had lunch with two of my grandchildren, and one of them said, when she told her friends that she had met President Carter, her friends just didn't believe that she was really telling the truth. And she said, yes, I can show you a book with a picture of me and President Carter and my Oma. So it's when they give you their experience of an event, that's the validation and the joy of, yes, I was right to capture those moments and to share that with them.
Yeah. And now you get to share that. I'm sorry, Tina. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, one generation is generally 20 to 30 years for a child to be born and grown and have their own children. So typically a generation is anywhere from 20 to 30 years. And the first generation, yes, they have grandparents that they can ask questions. They can go and talk to them. The second generation, it's mom and dad used to talk about their mom and dad or their parents growing up. But by the fourth generation, the facts are getting muddier and muddier. By the sixth generation, which is about 120 years, the facts are so muffled and so messed up that you have to really search deep. If you can't find handwritten notes or things like that, the history that wasn't only orally passed down, it's gone. But written history is really important, but a written history is through the eyes of the writer. And so you have to then go and really research, what is this a general idea, or is it a general confirmation of a certain fact? And so by the sixth generation, if it wasn't written orally, or what we are so blessed with today is video, capturing it on video, the next six generations will have much better idea of what was life like in 2024, because it's recorded that way. If we'll have gadgets that will play our phones and our things, because I remember as a girl growing up with 8-tracks, and then there was the vinyls. Well, we may not have the information or the machinery to play back that history, but what I do now, I have a brand new cassette player in a box stored away, that if my children or future generations should find tapes, they will be able to listen to it. And then I think we need to, as historians, we need to have those type of things preserved so that future generations will be able to look back and see what we lived. Because today marks the 120th year of the Kittycock first flight. So the first airplane that was made was flown today, marks that anniversary.
Wow.
And so we have that, and because that first flight was so important, now today, on any given day in the U.S., we have 14,000 flights going in our airways, and that it started only 120 years ago. So if you think about history in that sense, that is such a short time. But it was recorded, and therefore we can celebrate that today. And how many people, millions of people, on these 14,000 flights, there's millions of people that fly every single day in our country. But it all started only 120 years ago. So because it's recorded, we have that information today and are reaping the benefits of what was done.
Isn't that amazing to think? Well, to hear you say that, Tina, that is, I mean, of course, 120 years is a long time, but it's definitely a short amount of time, right, in relative thinking about the world. And another thing Tina's been able to do, for those who don't know, and as I mentioned, she's gearing up for something really big, and that is she's been able to open her own museum for the world. Talk to us about that, Tina, and where the idea for the museum came from.
Well, my love of history also includes the physical antiques, and I've been gathering antiques for as long as I traveled to interview and to archives and places that I studied for my book, Seminole. And so I always dreamt of having a museum. But it's not so much the physical antiques that I have in there, but the stories behind each antique. And so for me, when I chose the title, West Texas Living Heritage Museum, I really focus on the living part. And that's the May 30th and 31st and June 1st, we'll have 3 days of going back, a homesteading conference where we will teach what happened 120 years ago. How did great-great-grandma and grandpa make their living? How did they make butter? How did they, what did they use with bees? And how did they milk a cow? How did they butcher sausage making? Like, these are all things that I'm going, that's the living part of the title of the of my museum, to teach back hands-on. And when I have a little boy or girl turning that wheel of making a sausage and then hanging it in a 50-gallon barrel that's been a makeshift smoker, it's so gratifying to see them relive history. And those are the memories that they will go take growing into their adult life and hopefully repeat.
I'll tell you, it is remarkable. And talk to us about the celebration that you're gearing up for the first anniversary.
We are going to just celebrate big. We're going to start this last weekend in May, and it'll go through June, just having different events, different groups come through, and I'll just can't wait to share what is done. I'm now, for the first time in my life, I'm washing alpaca wool so that we'll have actual an old thread, thread machine making the fibers to make a fabric. And so it's these type of things that we will continually celebrate in the West Texas Living Heritage Museum and to bringing back the cultures of our area. I'm just excited to see what all is going to come out of it and to celebrate the space and time that we are in today, looking back, and how can we relearn some of this that will aid us in the future.
Yeah. Does it feel like it's been a year? I know you put a lot of work into this, Tina, into the museum and the classes and what you've been able to do. Does it feel like it's been a year already?
No. Time has really flown by. It has been an amazing journey, and people are just really now getting to hear about it and to, because there's bigger school groups coming through. So naturally the word is getting out more, and it's just like, wow, it's almost a year and it doesn't seem that way because we've just been so busy trying to build the reputation and build the awareness of the museum being in the community and surrounding. We'll have 18 to 25 coming all the way from the Midwest states teaching here in the month of June with the homeschool conference and the heritage homesteading conference, as well as the museum country fair. So it's just going to be a lot of fun celebrating what has been built in the past year.
Well, it's exciting to be able to see, Tina. And I have to say, I've said it to you before, I'm so excited for you, so proud of you, and I just know you are continuing to make a difference. And it's so interesting that as the museum is getting the attention it deserves, your books are getting attention, winning awards this year, as they should, and that's exciting to be able to see. And it's all because you took the time to share this history with us, and I wouldn't know you otherwise, and I'm so glad that you've done so. Again, everyone, award-winning author Tina Siemens has been our guest. Tina, let our audience know, how can they stay connected with you?
They can go on any social media as Tina Siemens, and my books are on Amazon, Seminole, Some People Never Give Up, The Little Sandals That Could. They can reach me at SeminoleTheBook@gmail.com, or the museum is West Texas Living Heritage Museum.com. So reach out to me. I'm looking forward to being in contact with you.
All right. Well, thanks again, Tina, for spending some time with us. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to our next chat together.
I appreciate the time, and thanks for having me on.
Hey, glad to do it. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.